before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
That's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And, well, we have a lot to talk about today. Judge Merchan came out and expanded his gag order to Donald Trump. So we're going to cover that a little bit. And then there's some infighting about the $60+ billion military aid bill to all the different places in the world, like Ukraine and Israel and the Middle East. And it just tells me that the military industrial complex lobby group is alive and kicking. You know, they're making a lot of money, folks, and they shouldn't be. You know, and it's a lot of these, again, these soy boys, these liberals that claim that they're all about peace, but they are directly connected with the military-industrial complex, working with companies like Raytheon and other types of companies inside the Beltway and benefiting from gravy money. You know, they don't have to earn it. They don't have to produce. They don't have to be innovative. They don't have to do anything except be a tool within the wheels of government. Just a flat-out tool. Just who do you know? Well, I know my father sent me to Yale, and he put me in touch with three other people that could help us out. You know, it's like the Bidens, Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden is what? He's you know, everything he's ever done has been through his connections that his poppy gave for him. And here it says, breaking: judge refuses to toss out tax case against Hunter Biden, paving the way for June trial. U.S. District Judge Mark Scarcy denied 8 motions to dismiss the indictment accusing Joe Biden's son of scheming to avoid paying $1.4 million in taxes while living an extravagant lifestyle. Biden wants everyone to pay your fair share as long as they are not a Biden. My word is a Biden. You know, he doesn't have a word. So there's that. We're going to talk today about the infighting that's going on between even Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene to a certain extent, but with this Speaker Johnson. You know, is now the time to get rid of another speaker? I don't think so in an election year, but unless it involves, you know, the shenanigans that are going on with respect to, you know, Jeffries, the uni-party Republicans paving the way for a Jeffries speakership, which would really be devastating in a way to the investigation against the Bidens. So we'll see. This was an interesting report, and I'm going to get through a couple of these smaller stories and then get into our two big stories today, which are going to be a clip from Matt Gaetz talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene and also some other things that are very interesting. We're going to also talk again today about this Judge Merchant in the hush money case. We're related to Stormy Daniels. There's some developments there, so we're going to talk about that. But first, Charlie Kirk writes this. Starting a decade ago, McKinsey, one of the richest and most well-connected management consulting firms. You've heard of McKinsey, right? McKinsey Business Management. Every one of their employees is like from Harvard or Yale MBA. Or Penn Business School, produced a whole series of studies claiming, so through the years, the McKinsey put together like a model, and they ran their business on this model. And the model was, and I recall having conversations with Ivy Leaguers about this, not just this, but if you've ever gone through like, if you've ever gone through a, you know, like, say you're in the city, like in New York City, for a good example, New York City, and you walk out in front of a big corporation, and that corporation has all these beautiful flower pots in front of the corporation. And you say, whoa, that's aesthetically pleasing. And so corporations would forever be pushed to have like green spaces, landscaping, and flower arrangements instead of just like military-style barricades to prevent trucks from ramming into their buildings and things like that. You almost wonder if those trucks that were going into the German Christmas markets years ago, like over a decade ago, that was some sort of a underlying push for pushing the agenda of corporate responsibility of creating more pleasant environments. Now, it may have been the right thing to do, but it's the wrong way to motivate somebody by killing people. But these left-wingers will stop at nothing to advance their agenda. And that's the point that I'm making. And the same may be true even with tamper-proof medical bottles. So did it really take somebody poisoning Tylenol to advance the need for those aluminum seals and child-proof protection bottles? Was there someone behind the profitability of that that planted that and then said, well, there's going to be a huge demand? And not only that, but the operation could have been financed by Aleve or ibuprofen, alternatives to acetaminophen. Back in the day, Tylenol was supreme. And then all of a sudden, their bottles started turning up poison. And next thing you know, some other company gained market share in that market and the advancement of taint-proof or tap-proof bottles, you know, so that you can't inject something into them, right? Child-proof bottles. There was probably somebody who profited from that. But here we got this. We got this McKinsey. So Charlie Kirk is doing the McKinsey thing. He says, starting a decade ago, McKinsey, one of the richest and most well-connected management consulting companies, produced a whole series of studies claiming dramatic improvements to business success when companies prioritize diversity for their executives rather than just merit. These studies were used to justify sweeping anti-male, anti-Asian, and anti-white discrimination at hundreds of U.S. companies, universities, and government agencies. Now, an updated analysis by two economic professors finds that the studies were totally bogus. There was no link between greater diversity and greater sales, greater growth, or higher stock prices. And then it ends with DEI is a scam. And you can find this article over at econjwatch.org. So it's a full article about it. There's a lot of studies like that, though. You know, where McKinsey came out with more vacation leads to more productivity. Perhaps because of more higher retention. Better health care, more vacation, a more aesthetic work environment. Yeah, all of that's probably true. People want to work there instead of there. Retention is king. Yeah, of course. That all makes sense. But this whole thing about DEI is just bogus. You know, there was a study I remember in my college class in the 80s. I studied this psychological study. And it was an example of a false study. And the false study was people who eat ice cream commit rape. And then they're like, what you didn't factor in is ice cream is served mostly in the heat, in the hot summers, where people are dressed scantily clad and, you know, there might be a little bit more going on there than just ice cream. So, you know, you have to worry about the modalities of the studies. So, Julie Kelly, this is just a few stories I wanted to get through before we get to our two bigger stories. Monthly payments from Adam Schiff's campaign committed to Lauren. Oh, well, this is going to be part of the bigger story. Lauren Merchant's Authentic Campaigns company in 2019 and 2020. So this is Adam Schiff's donations. They add up to a huge amount, millions of dollars, where his campaign was given money to a committee, campaign committee, to Lauren Merchant's Authentic Campaigns company. So basically she was a political operative. The daughter now has been expanded. The gag order against Trump has been expanded to also include the daughter. Yet the daughter goes out and raises funding against Trump and basically does what? She writes these memes and writes these nasty tweets about Trump. So she's allowed to punch Trump in the face with both fists while they want to put Trump in a straitjacket. Isn't that always the way that these soy boy libtards want to fight? As soon as they get smacked in the mouth, they cry like babies. Isn't that what they do? Isn't that what they are? Who they are? Little babies. They cry when you flick them in the nose. But if you wear a red MAGA hat, you're all of a sudden hurting their feelings. Just crazy, the world we're living in. So this one, breaking, a New Mexico federal judge has issued a 300-page ruling in favor of election integrity activists who argued that the state violated federal law by refusing to provide election records. The judge also awarded attorney's fees to the Patriots. So that's pretty good, right? Secretary Oliver and the Attorney General violated the public inspection provision by refusing to timely produce voter data in response to voter references February 12, 2022 and May 2022 voter data requests. Voter reference is entitled to reasonable attorney's fees. So that's a win for the election integrity. Election integrity is being contested in a lot of places. So it's kind of interesting. Now, we're going to get to one other story I wanted to report. Chilean gangs are taking advantage of the U.S. visa waiver program and are to be and are coming to the U.S. to burglarize luxury homes. So I want to take a listen to this quick clip. To see what they have to say about this.
A team of burglars can go undetected. Months ago, the sheriff formed a task force and caught seven people from Chile who'd been breaking in and getting away with millions, $800,000 in jewelry and cash from one home alone.
The Chilean gangs have been hitting us very hard. Cash, jewelry, very high-end purses, that's pretty much the target. They're super well-trained when they get here. Highly organized. They look like ninjas. They're all masked up, gloves. They each have a backpack with their particular set of tools for their job in the burglary.
Even using a jammer on wireless alarms, the sheriff recommends hardwiring your alarm system and be sure to turn it on. A team of burglars can go undetected.
So they got the jammers for the wireless alarm systems. They recommend hardwire. So these guys are coming from Venezuela, Chile, Uruguay, El Salvador. They're like, what do you do for a living? I'm a burglar. I'm an expert burglar. And they're good at it, too. They're hard to catch. It's crazy. So Jonathan Turley had this to say, and Trump thanked him. Says, this has really done great damage to the New York legal system. Okay, so this lawfare against Trump. Let's take a listen.
Look, this has really done great damage to the New York legal system and how it's perceived internationally. This is thrilling for many people in New York who, after all, elected James on a pledge to bag Trump for something. So This is obviously playing well to the New York base. But outside New York, and particularly international businesses, are looking at this, I think, with a degree of horror. That a judge could come up with a figure so large you have to sell parts of your business just to get an appeal. So the said, look.
Right. But, you know, what's going to throw a monkey wrench into their plans is RFK, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Or Robert F. Kennedy. Yeah, Jr. That's pretty crazy. So New York is not necessarily in the bag for the Bidens. If you think about a third-party candidate as strong as RFK. Back to Adam Schiff and the Lauren Merchant thing. In 2019-2020, Adam Schiff paid Lauren Merchant's firm $4 million. That's the number I wanted to get for you. Almost 40% of Schiff's total disbursement, there's that cycle, 40%. At the same time, Schiff was in cahoots with Michael Cohen to take down Donald Trump. Now Lauren's daddy, Judge, not only is allowing Cohen to testify in a hush money trial next month, Trump opposes, Judge Juan Merchant issued a gag order last week banning Trump from making critical public statements about Michael Cohen. And now he's expanded it to include his daughter. Merchant's work for Trump's biggest antagonist on Capitol Hill helped her earn a coveted Rising Star Award from Campaign and Elections magazines in 2020. As president and partner of Authentic Campaigns, the editors swooned Merchant is setting new benchmarks in the digital media space by doing groundbreaking historical work for clients like John Tester, Kamala Harris, Adam Schiff, and others. Lauren Merchant is 34 years old. She's not a child. She runs a very lucrative political firm that has made tens of millions of dollars off Trump's biggest political foes. Since 2019, Adam Schiff has paid her company six figures a month, including during the time. Let's see. During the time he led the impeachment against Trump and met several times with Michael Cohen. Merchant should have recused. He refused to do so and is in the process put himself and his daughter under much deserved scrutiny. Nothing close to an attack. So basically it's Adam Schiff giving money to Lauren Merchant, who's the daughter of the judge who is going after Trump, who, by all accounts, should not have Michael Cohen, a convicted felon, to give testimony because he's going to use Michael Cohen's testimony to actually say, well, there you go. You got a witness. even though there's a conflict of interest, that Michael Cohen's been discredited, and Michael Cohen was likely having an affair with Stormy Daniels and was using this extortion plot to cover up for his own misgivings, his own bad deeds. All right. Let's get started with some of the bigger stories. Breaking, the wife of judge overseeing Trump's hush money trial worked for Letitia James as special assistant attorney general. These crooks are all in this to get Trump. All right. So Lara Merchant. Okay. That's just one bit. Breaking update, almost $14 million from Schiff's, said $4 million before, almost $14 million from Schiff's campaign paid to Hush Money Judge's daughter's firm. From 2022 through today, the Schiff campaign has dispersed 89 payments to authentic campaigns, totaling a whopping $13.942 million. Wow. Massive conflict of interest emerges as Trump hush money trial involving $4 million payment from Adam Schiff. So $4 million was one payment, but it was overall $14 million. Adam Schiff was involved with Eric Ciaramella, and his lover, Sean Misko, was on Adam Schiff's advisory team over the Ukrainian call with Zelensky, if you recall. Sean Misko was part of the NSC, along with Eric Ciaramella, working in the Trump White House as part of the transition from Obama to Trump, and was spying on the Trump campaign from within the White House. Eric Ciaramella was listening in on the Ukrainian call and changed and edited his notes, and then used a soy boy attorney, Mark Zaid, to... who has a penchant for actress Gomez. When she was a young child and a Disney product, he would love to go to Disney. I think Mark Zaid is a questionable character, right? He's an attorney, and he tweeted out, in January of 2017, right after Trump's inauguration, that impeachment proceedings are going to begin. It's going to involve lawyers. He had pre-planned it. He had tweeted it out. I believe the tweet is still up. You can search it. So, it's amazing when they outwardly and overtly go after Trump and attack Trump and nobody says anything. Like, people aren't doing their research. They're not getting the truth. So it's kind of crazy. But breaking, far-left judge expands Trump gag order to bar him from criticizing his daughter, a far-left political operative, and who's trashed Trump. So she's allowed to punch Trump, but Trump's not allowed to punch her back. You know, metaphorically speaking. Breaking, Trump gag order in New York trial expanded to ban criticism of judge's daughter. All right. So here's Benny Johnson. He has something to say.
Stay silent. They want Donald Trump to stay silent. Trump is slapped with a gag order in Stormy Daniels' hush money case. Stop him from attacking staff and witnesses as he lashed out against the judge's daughter. Why would Trump lash out against the judge's daughter? Well, maybe because the judge's daughter posted a photo of Trump in prison bars. Look at this. Not just a photo. Hold on. Let's be smart with our social media understanding here. Her avatar, her avi, is Trump behind jail bars. This is the judge's daughter in the Alvin Bragg fake bullshit case in New York. So what does that tell you? This X account belongs to Lauren Merchant, under the handle Lauren M42. This shows her profile picture is President Trump behind bars in a jail cell. The judge is in the Trump case. He can't get a fair trial from this judge. This should be disqualifying. This absolutely should be disqualifying. This is bananas. Bananas for a banana republic. So they've stopped Donald Trump from talking about the trial because of this. And, man, it does show you the rot inside the system. It does show you the evil inside the system. We talk a lot about the Eric Holder memo, that memo that was written about how, like, the DOJ is not allowed to prosecute that would not allowed to go and do prosecutions that would upset the apple cart, that would upset the American elites. So they're not allowed to pursue prosecutions that would upset the established American elite order. And that is obviously the controlling vector that stops people like the Bidens, the Clintons from being prosecuted, Epstein Island from being investigated, because it'd be too humiliating to the rest of the world to see what a monstrous rat's nest, den of vipers, of predators run our country. It'd be too damaging to the American brand to see that we are run by this elite group of true predators and filth. These people are monsters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that 1,000%. All right. So we're going to continue. Lawfare Democrat Judge Merchan has ruled Trump cannot comment on his daughter's political campaign. I know I've said it before. I'm just reading these. The court must disqualify Merchan for this conflict of interest. Yeah, it's just absolutely crazy. All right, here we got this. 3 years of Bidenomics has destroyed the American dream for the working class. Annual earnings to afford a medium priced home have risen from January 21. It was $75,000 to January 2024. You need $110,000. It's up 46.2%. That's not 3.2% inflation. Now we're up really 18-19% inflation on average. The price of oil has gone up from like $81 a barrel to $86 a barrel now. And you're going to start to see $4 a gallon gas prices in an election year. But it's oil and commodities that are causing the truest impact of inflation. The fact that we're not allowed, you know, with the automobile industry as well, people don't want to buy combustible engines because they're afraid that in 2030 their car is going to be banned. Right? Some people, you know, don't just sell their car every 4 years. They buy a car, keep it for a good 10 years. They're afraid that they won't buy gas cars anymore because they're afraid the government is going to actually ban them from using their car. And then electric vehicles suck. So, yeah, and they're overpriced. So what do you to do? I mean, you now have government anxiety about your free speech online because you might be thrown, deplatformed or censored. You have anxiety about purchasing a car. You have anxiety about, you know, doing something to your backyard. It might violate some sort of a climate or environmental initiative. I mean, it's absolutely insane. Do you really want to start a business, a manufacturing business, when 3 years down the road, they might tell you once you get ramped up and get to be somebody, that you're going to have to shut down because you're violating ESG score, or you didn't have enough DEI, you're going to be taxed out of business. We're living in a world where it's just absolutely, there's no freedom whatsoever. It's got to stop. Meanwhile, you got illegals getting paid seven times more than military families right now. Seven times more. So rent has gone up 20.9%, national average on rent. Medium home prices have gone up 42%. And the annual earnings to afford a medium price income are... the requirement is you need 46.2% more earnings than you had 3 years ago. From January 2021 to January 2024, you need 46.2% pay increase. Did you get that pay increase? Did you make 46.2% more? Well, let's see. We got a call coming in. Sorry about that. I don't have my system set up too well right now. There was something not right about it. But all right, caller, you're on the air.
I guess the key word is nullification. As I said once before, we have to have state leaders that are going to nullify these tyrannical laws that are being put in place. It's become, you really have to, people need to understand the Constitution. You got to see what government's role is in the Constitution.
I think that the Supreme Court needs to be more aggressive in weighing in, but we have a Chief Justice Roberts that was a really poor choice by George W. Bush.
Well, you know, I think we got to stop looking to the Supreme Court too as well, you know, because they're not there to legislate from the bench.
No, they're there to interpret the Constitution, to create law that that Congress has to abide by.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff. I mean, there's so much numeration. Like, there's no numeration in the Constitution for them to be taking our tax dollars and sending it overseas. Right there, that needs to stop.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, well, we're going to get to that here in a minute. And just give me a minute, and we're going to get to that $67 billion spending bill. But yeah, thank you for calling in.
Take care, buddy. Have
all
a good
day. All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, so what we're going to do here is, yeah. All right. So, yeah, you need more money. Things are really getting tough out there is what I'm saying. Now, survey, when asked about Trans Visibility Day, Joe Biden now says, I didn't know that. And the White House press secretary calls it misinformation. Did he forget signing the proclamation? Is he lying? I hereby Robert Joe Robinson Biden. He signed it, right? He signed it. And guess what? He's now denying it. The scary part about this isn't the fact that Joe Biden lies. We know that. It's that his lies aren't even like, hey, dude, you just signed it on Sunday. This was yesterday. So it was one day later, right? I mean, come on, man. Are you kidding? So the question, Biden forgot, Biden is lying, Biden wasn't told. The scary part is Biden wasn't told. That's the scary part. He didn't know what he did. Somebody else is running the government. That's the point. So did you know there are 145 days on the calendar celebrating LGBTQ? February 19th to the 25th is Aromatic Spectrum Awareness Week. March 21 to 25 is LGBTQIA+ Health Awareness Week. March 31st is Transgender Day of Visibility, apparently. April 6th, and apparently that's Easter Sunday, but they get the rainbow flag on the White House. And kids are told they can't write, you know, religious scripture on their eggs. April 6th, International Asexuality Day. April 13th, International Day of Pink, Day Opposing Homophobia. April 14th, Day of Silence. April 26th, Lesbian Visibility Day. May 17th, International Day Against Homophobia, Biophobia, and Transphobia. May 19th, Gender Pride Day. May 22nd, Harvey Milk Day. May 25th, Pansexual and Panoramic Awareness Day. Entire month of June, Pride Month. June 23rd, Stonewall Day. June 28th, International LGBTQ Day. July 14th, International Non-Binary People Day. July 16th, International Drag Day. September 16th, 23rd, Bisexual Awareness Week. September 23rd, Celebrate Bisexual Day. Entire month of October, LGBT History Month. October 8th, International Lesbian Day. Somebody's been working overtime with their lobby groups, right? October 11th, National Coming Out Day. October 17th, 24, Gender Fluid Visibility Week. October 19th, International Pronoun Day. October 19th, Spirit Day Support LGBTQ Youth. Oh, we want the youth too. Okay. October 23rd to 29, Asexual Awareness Week. October 26th, Intersex Awareness Day. Entire month of November, Trans Awareness Month. November 5th, Transparent Day. November 8th, Intersex Day of Remembrance. November 13th through the 19th, Transgender Awareness Week. November 20th, Transgender Day of Remembrance. And this isn't even a complete list if you include other designated days from the UN and other worldwide institutions and authorities. And they also put the flags up on top of State Department embassies, although I hear that might be changing. But yeah, they were doing that too, right? So it's crazy. So they're trying to cover it up. This is what Jean-Pierre had to say about Biden's denial that he actually endorsed Transgender Visibility Day.
Oh, surprised by the misinformation that's been out there around this. And I want to be very clear. Every year for the past several years, on March 31st, Transgender Day of Visibility is marked. And as we know, for folks who understand the calendar and how it works, Easter falls on different Sundays, right? Every year. And this year it happened to coincide with Transgender Visibility Day. And so that is the simple fact. That is what has happened. That is where we are. And I do want to say a couple of things because I think it's important here. As you just stated in your questions, what we've been hearing out there, a lot of misinformation done on purpose. And as a Christian who celebrates Easter with family, President Biden stands for bringing people together and upholding the dignity and freedoms of every American. Now, sadly, and it's not surprising, right? It is actually unsurprising that politicians are seeking to divide and weaken our country with cruel, hateful, and dishonest rhetoric. It is dishonest what we have heard the past 24 hours. It is untrue what we heard over the weekend.
Yeah, right. Okay, so she's having a bad week. He denied it. He denied. He said, hey, I didn't say that. He did say it. So let's take a listen to this Ducey, Peter Ducey exchange. Now, this is a different subject. It's most of the border crossers. It's about border crossings here. But let's take a listen to this.
Most of the border crossers accused of beating up Texas National Guardsmen in a riot last month were released on their own recognizance Sunday. How does that make people in this country any safer?
So I have to refer you to Department of Justice and DHS on that particular reporting. I will say this, as the event unfolded, the Border Patrol was able to act quickly and get the situation under control and apprehend the migrants. And we were grateful that the Border Patrol was able to do their job. Look, there is a challenge at the border, right? Our immigration system has been broken for decades, before this president became president, obviously, more than three years ago. And this president, a couple months ago, worked with the Senate in a bipartisan fashion to get a negotiation done, right? And what we saw is from the last president, President Trump, told Republicans in Congress not to move forward with this negotiation, this agreed plan, this agreed proposal, because it would help Joe Biden. That's what was reported by some of you. And we can actually deal with this. We can actually deal with what we're seeing. And because they didn't move forward, right, because they didn't move forward with this proposal, because of the last president, and because they put politics ahead of the American people, we are seeing chaos. And so we want to get this done. We did. We worked with Congress to get this done, to deal with the challenges at the border. President Trump got in the way, and because President Trump got in the way.
They're blaming Trump for the border. That's not going to go well. That is just incredible that anyone can say that and think that people will believe it.
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though. They all said, would you please just ask her? does the president have dementia? And so before I move on from that, does he?
That, Mark, I can't even believe you're asking me this question.
But you know people ask it.
Wait, no. You're taking us down this rabbit hole.
How does Mr. Biden win votes when people don't have as much disposable income?
The economy was in a tailspin because of the last administration, because of
excuses.
Trump left us with. All the important groceries, those costs have gone down because of what this president has been able to do. And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
Wow.
And then hung up on him. That was Fox Business. All right, let's take a listen to this. Breaking report. Tucker Carlson reveals, this is not really breaking, folks, but Tucker Carlson reveals he believes that 2020 election was 100% stolen. Let's take a listen.
It was 100% stolen? Are you
like
joking?
It was rigged to that large of a
degree. Yeah, they completely change the way people vote right before the election on the basis of COVID, which had nothing to do
with it. So in that way, it was rigged, meaning
100%,
like,
and then
manipulated.
Then you censor the information people are allowed to get. Anyone who complains about COVID, which is like, by the way, it might have hurt Trump. But I mean, it's like, whatever. I mean, you could play it many different ways. You can't have censorship in a democracy by definition. Here's how it works. The people rule. They vote for representatives to carry their agenda to the capital city and get it enacted. That's how they're in charge. And then every few years, they get to reassess the performance of those people in an election. In order to do that, they need access, unfettered access to information. And no one, particularly not people who are already in power, is allowed to tell them what information they can have. They have to have all information that they want. Whether the people in charge want it or don't want it or think it's true or think it's false, it doesn't matter. And the second you don't have that, you don't have a democracy. It's not a free election, period.
That's it, right there. It crystallized in a nutshell. As only Tucker could do it. So, breaking news, Speaker Johnson held the Mayorkas impeachment documents until he passed the Senate omnibus that fully funded Mayorkas' department and gave $800 million to FEMA to fund the criminal illegal aliens. That's where they're getting the money, folks. Thank you, Speaker Johnson. Do you mean you've been holding them for over a month? Why? So that's what Marjorie Taylor Greene is upset about, too. Here's something to think about. Just days before President Trump faced a record-breaking $400 million bond to appeal in an unjust political persecution, Speaker Johnson fully funded Joe Biden's DOJ, who is trying to throw President Trump in jail for the rest of his life. Why is the Republican speaker doing the bidding of the communist Democrats? And then Marjorie Taylor says, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is the good men doing nothing. Speaker Johnson completely surrendered all power we had in the House to stop horrendous crimes like child rape by illegals when he fully funded Biden's deadly open border without a fight. So Bill Malusian says we embedded with a team of elite Boston-based ICE deportation officers as they arrested four alleged child rapists and a violent MS-13 gang member. So it's real, folks. All right. I want to play this. I'm having trouble finding the clip the absolute clip that I want is coming. It's coming to a theater near you. And I'm going to get it right here. Here it is.
Is not listening to the America First folks and the American people and what Marjorie is right, or did she jump the gun too quick? What's Matt Gaetz say?
Talking about Marjorie.
The fundamental difference is the size of the majority. When I filed the motion to vacate against Kevin McCarthy, we had a 4-seat majority, and I came on this program, I answered your tough questions about that, and I promised the American people that the consequence of my action would not be a Democrat Speaker of the House. I had carefully monitored this, I had talked to each and every member, and I didn't think that would be the case. As I sit here with you today, I could not make the same promise, and thus I cannot support a motion to vacate. I can think of two or three members of our House majority, some of whom used to be Democrats, who might actually be willing to take a position for themselves in exchange for voting for Hakeem Jeffries for House Speaker. That risk would put on the table another version of Biden's massive spend. I mean, you thought this minibus was bad, and it was, and I voted no. They'll do another American Rescue Plan that will actually need a rescue from. So I won't be supporting a motion to vacate. I'm trying to help Mike Johnson be the best speaker he can be. He is going to be our speaker now to the election, and for all of his flaws, he doesn't lie, which means we can work with him regarding our goals. My goal is to secure our border, not to be spending a bunch of money in Ukraine, not to be borrowing money from China to go and loan it to Ukraine. That seems crazy to me. And while I appreciate the fact that Mike Johnson is trying to find more nuanced ways to do what he wants to do, there are not enough Russian assets to liquidate to be able to fund what they want. You're talking about maybe a few hundred million in cash liquidatable assets here, whereas it's a $20 billion number they want to send to Ukraine.
Yeah, when he's saying innovations, and I remember all this talk after you moved quickly to vacate Mr. McCarthy, there were these new rules, right?
Right.
Y'all were going to get 72 hours to read all bills. I thought these things were going to be broken down into simple, more line item type voting things, not big omnibus budget deals like this minibus. And I thought we had heard from Johnson early last year when he got this seat that if there was big spending in Ukraine and elsewhere, that those would be individual items. So what is he talking about? We're going to find innovative ways to still fund Ukraine, because this came over the weekend where he sounds more like he's on board with sending millions, possibly billions more. So what changed in those few months with Mike?
The difference is I don't think he wants to lash these things together like the Senate did. Okay. Now, whether we're considering Ukraine in one vote with Israel or on its own, I'm very likely a no vote because I think it risks some sort of escalatory accident that could end up melting the globe in some nuclear exchange between the United States and Russia.
Okay, let me just interject real quick, okay, because here it is. $47.7 billion. Okay, so this is a $66.32 billion funding bill. $47.7 billion Ukraine aid. $10.4 billion Israel goes to Israel. $4.9 billion, $5 billion for U.S. allies in the Indo-Pacific region. $2.4 billion for U.S. military ops in Middle East to combat Iran-backed militias. So that's what this is. This is a military spending bill. It's all money laundering slush fund stuff.
That risk is too high for me, and I think we have to be pragmatic about that. I think that you had Mitch McConnell's desire to use all of our sympathy for Israel in this great time of strife to try to muscle Ukraine across the line when there was insufficient support for that. It's disappointing that we have gotten rid of the 72-hour rule to read bills. But you know why we got rid of it, Dan? Because the members wanted to waive it. Like, I put it in the rule book, but members wanted to waive that rule because the people who voted for that trash piece of legislation didn't want the details out to the American people. They didn't want you to know that there was millions of dollars, $15 million that the American taxpayer paid to fund Egyptian students going to college in Egypt. They didn't want you to be funded all these NGOs
that
are seducing the invasion.
Because like I said, I remember you putting that in as one of the
rules. Oh, it's on the books. But any given day in the House of Representatives, if two-thirds of the members stand up and say, we hereby waive the rules, then it's like martial law. They automatically go away. And two-thirds of the overall membership didn't want 72 hours to read the bill because they didn't want the American people to read the bill. Because it wasn't about what the ultimate consequence was for the country. If people got their little pork barrel projects in, if they got their funding in for their community centers or their unique agenda items, then they would forsake the broader consequences that we must all endure. Here's what I've decided. We cannot fix the country with the people we currently have in Washington.
No kidding.
Republican or Democrat. And the reason I'm here in California is I've been traveling all over this country, from Virginia to Utah, out here to California, to try to raise an army of patriots who actually want to go and serve the people. Not the donors, not the foreign interests abroad, but the people of their district and of this country. And if we don't do that, if we don't defeat some incumbents in primaries, if we don't fill these open seats that have been created because folks have gotten we've gotten rid of the cushy life in Washington, then we will miss the opportunity to seize the Trump presidency. President Trump is going to lay out a vision, and he's going to have a lot of energy behind that vision, but we can't have the Mitch McConnells and the Paul Ryans.
We need
tripping
a Senate and a House that are America first. And looking at that minibus vote, there was only, what, 130 of you, 134 that actually said no. The rest of the Republicans sided with all the Democrats and pushed that garbage through. Once again, putting us further in debt and kicking the can down the road. So let's talk about the razor-thin majority we have and why it's so important come November
to get you
and the other America First and Freedom Caucus folks more backup. Because we can't count on the Ken Bucks and these folks that are retiring early and screwing over the country. Notice I didn't say party, screwing over we the people. So how are we going to, one, hold on to the majority through next January, because now we're down to one, and let's talk about how we get out and get more of those America First folks elected, Matt.
Well, first things first, preserving this majority when you had people like Kevin McCarthy and Ken Buck and Mike Gallagher walk off the job. Three people walk off the job in a four-seat majority. It's tough. Now,
paid them off, Matt.
Well, that's the concern we have with anyone that is leaving at this time. Let me be clear. There is an organized effort by the political left right now to buy people off to quit and then also to try to compromise people. I know of circumstances right now where people are being told you should quit or else some embarrassing information might come out. We might lie about you and say things that are false. They're actually trying to steal the majority that the people gave to the Republican Party and convert it to the Democratic Party, and they should not have enablers and co-conspirators in our movement willing to facilitate that. I think, you know, that we've got to be real resilient about that, and we should judge harshly those who leave service to go get some high-paying job, if that, in fact, turns out to be the case.
We all knew what these jobs were.
It's not like it's a surprise that when you run, it's a two-year job. And if you sign up for the military and you walk off, that's AWOL. I guess only the Secretary of Defense can get away with that, right?
Yeah, we know that one.
But in Congress, you know, we should similarly view that with great concern. And when it comes to growing the majority, then, look, we have to get the right candidates in the primaries. I'm tired of hearing that, somebody's more electable, even though they have milquetoast views and will never fight for the people. We have to have folks who, when they get to Washington, will resist the seduction of the lobbyists and the special interests and the corruption and all of the trappings of that magical place. And if we do that, I think we can really marshal the energy of the Trump presidency into the policy reforms on the budget, on the bureaucracy, and on the border. We do those three things, the budget, the bureaucracy, and the border. We rein those in. We will do great service to the country. But it's not going to happen if Republican voters in primaries do not do their part as well. They have to be discerning about these candidates. And you know what? Sometimes it's not about who has the most money and the slickest ads.
No.
It's about making a judgment about who will fight for you.
That's the key.
That is the key. We have time for a real quick call, like very quick. John from Chicago?
Hey, he's got two quick points. Number one, that $66 billion funding bill that they passed without a second thought is roughly $200 for every man, woman, and child in America. Family of four, that's $800 just thrown out the window at the drop of a hat that we don't have, and that gets us nothing. That's the irresponsibility, number one. Number two, aren't we glad we got rid of Santos? So now we have a one-vote majority.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, I agree with you, your sarcasm. Yeah, I agree with your sarcasm.
You know, and got rid of them, and now look at us now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just going to take one more cushy little golden parachute job to get Jeffries as the speaker.
Exactly.
You know, pay to play.
Exactly. So, yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah.
They had to be so self-righteous, and now we're down to one vote majority. So those are the only two things I wanted to say. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. Take care. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. Well, we are out of time. We are at the end of the Scott Adams Show. All good things come to an end. But in any case, I want to thank everybody for tuning into the Scott Adams Show. Be sure to check out MAGAPAC.org. Find out how we're advancing America First policies like Matt Gaetz was talking about to make America great again. Also, make a donation if you'd like to continue to keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free. We want to get this information out as best as possible. Also, use Red State as your promo code over at mypillow.com. And with that, we'll see you next time. on the radio. Goodbye, buddy.
I'm from a small town in Tennessee, a long way from the suits in D.C., but close enough now to see this mess. Where I stand, the mound's getting steeper. They grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper, just to bury my kids right up to there.